Okay, while the offering bag is still working its way to the back, just a quick question for you. No, it's not going to be hugely interactive this morning. Who has finished their Christmas shopping? Just raise your hands if you've finished all your Christmas shopping. Okay, and that's not too bad. Everyone is giving you really jealous looks at the moment. Put your hands up if you've not actually started your Christmas shopping. Yeah, well, absolutely. I'm going to put my hand up here. Okay, brilliant. So panic is setting in, isn't it, for those people who haven't quite started yet. And I guess one of the stresses, isn't it, of Christmas shopping is, well, it's the queues, isn't it, and just the general busyness, you know, sort of dog-eat-dog world out there, isn't it, of kind of getting the best bargains and stuff like that. It's even worse sometimes than the sales. But it can be that pressure, isn't it, trying to looking for that, you know, that perfect gift. You know, okay, maybe if you're sort of, you know, buying for great Aunt Mabel, you're not too worried about that. But if you're buying for a parent, a child, wife, husband, you know, best friend, you're always kind of on that lookout for what is it? What is it actually makes the perfect gift? And I guess we've all kind of got sort of different ideas as to, you know, what actually shows that we've kind of really thought and really sort of put a lot of energy and effort into getting a particular present for someone. So I guess for some people it may well be, well, it's about cost, isn't it? It's about how much the present is, and you know how much it is and how much it costs. Well, if it costs a lot, well, that's got to be a really great present. And if it doesn't cost so much, then maybe it's not the best present. So if you're thinking about a gift, maybe for someone, that special person this year, you could get... Now, you can't really see that very well. Actually, there is actually a watch in the middle of that, which you may not have spotted. There is actually... that is something to tell the time with. And apparently, if you wanted to buy that for someone, it would set you back. Now, the value was in dollars, and I couldn't be bothered to do the conversion rate. $15 million for that. So if you want to get that special gift for that special someone, I mean, $15 million, I mean, with the current exchange rate, that's only 100 quid. So it's fine. But $50 million, yeah, that's a lot, isn't it? That says to someone, surely, oh, wow, look at that gift. A number of years ago, Ruth and I received a Christmas present from... I'm not going to say who it's from. There's no one here, just so you know. No one in the remote locality. And we unwrapped it, and we discovered that someone, totally seriously, this wasn't a joke present, had actually bought us for Christmas a packet of rich tea biscuits. I was moved, really. I was quite moved by that. And the thing is, when you get a present you don't really like, you can often kind of re-gift it to other people. You can't re-gift a packet of rich tea biscuits, can you? It just doesn't work. But yeah, what is it? Is it all about how much a gift costs? Well, actually, no, not always. There's actually a little survey online which suggested that actually people who receive gifts don't really kind of care how much they cost, and actually the cost is more about the person going out and buying the gift. It's more of a big thing for them. So there you go. Don't worry about spending lots of money this Christmas. You're glad to hear that, aren't you? What about this then? What makes a good Christmas present? Maybe if it's something that you need. Now, probably most of us here would agree that the best Christmas presents are not presents that actually we need. So we have the classic, the socks up there. So you may be someone a bit like me who is continually, for some weird reason, always in need of socks. I don't know what happens to them, but I always need socks. However, I would not be particularly excited about unwrapping a present Christmas Day and discovering that someone had bought me some socks. I'm sure I am going to get some. But, you know, we think, you know, isn't it? The things that we need often do not make the most exciting presents. It's often things that we don't need. And there's a website, iwantoneofthose.com, you may have seen it. They've got some crazy presents, crazy things that not in a million years would you ever need. So, this is, you can't really see it very clearly, this is a grow-your-own-turf mini Manchester United Old Trafford thing. So you can grow a bit of Man United pitch, and you've got a little background there. And it's great. Hours of fun. Because what you can also do is you can get stickers with Europa League as well. You can just kind of like just stick at the back. You can write a little five in the corner as if you're watching it on Channel 5. It's brilliant. So you can do that. You can't see that very clearly either. That is Sudoku toilet paper. Now, it takes me a couple of hours to do a Sudoku. So that might not be the best present for me. For the girls there, knit your own perfect boyfriend. Clearly, that is someone's idea of a perfect boyfriend, isn't it? Actually, that looks like someone. Who does that remind me? Anyway, and this is a brilliant one as well. Name a rose. £12 for that. Name a rose. Yeah. Jeff. It's done, isn't it? It's free, isn't it? So there are some very odd presents out there. But often, isn't it? It's all things that we need. We the presents that we really enjoy are the things actually that are just a bit of fun, and things that perhaps we really, really want. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, what is giving a present all about? It's not necessarily about how much it costs. It's not about whether it's something that you need or whether it's just something that you want. But it's about the emotion, isn't it, that comes behind it. It's not how much money has been spent. Is the present given in love? Is it been given in love? And that is the perfect gift, isn't it? The perfect gift really is the one that is being given to whoever it may be, but it is given in love. And what I wanted to say to you very simply this morning is this, that actually the perfect gift has already been given to us. And we can see there's a picture of a manger, and there's a shadow across it. And that shadow is the shadow of the cross. And what we've already been thinking about this morning and having acted out for us with the Nativity is God giving the perfect gift to the world. And it's wonderful, isn't it, being able to watch the Nativity and see the children perform and things. But, the thing about, any kind of performance, and I really like the theatre and going to theatre, and if you go to the theatre, you have something called the suspension of disbelief, which is the idea that you kind of sort of enter into the performance. You know it's not real, but you kind of sort of try and, in a sense, try and make yourself pretend that it is real so you can kind of really enter into it. And so when it's kind of finished and when it's over, you kind of come out and you think, well, okay, that was brilliant, but I know that didn't really happen. But what we've read from Luke chapter 2 is this. Yes, that performance that the children kind of gave to us was not exactly how it would have been, unless they had really, really short shepherds and angels in those days. So it's not exactly how it would have been. However, it is a performance that is based on the facts of the Bible. And Luke, who wrote the words that we read earlier, we're told he actually, he interviewed eyewitnesses and he researched very carefully the things that he wrote down so that we could know that it was true. And he had loads of eyewitnesses to ask, didn't he? So there were shepherds who went to visit Jesus. There were the wise men. He had all these different, presumably, innkeepers who all said, no, no room, no room, no room, however many there actually were. And all these different eyewitnesses who were there that Luke could go up to and say, look, tell me about it. Tell me what really happened. Really happened. It's true. And it is God giving the greatest gift. And what I want us to do is thinking about those kind of three things that we just thought about, cost, need, and this idea of being given in love, is to then think about the gift that God actually has given to us. See, there's a verse in the Bible which says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is God's perfect, amazing gift to us. And so in reverse order, we're going to think a little bit about that verse. So first thing, given in love. We thought, brilliant, isn't it? A gift, given in love. That's the best thing. Well, the Bible says God demonstrates his own love for us. How do we know? How do we know that God loves us? Well, the Bible says God is love. And that's brilliant to hear. And we can believe the Bible when it says that. God is love. That is who he is. He is loving in his very being, in his character. Every aspect of who he is and what he does, he is, and it is all done in love. But how do we know? Well, the Bible tells us that God shows us that he loves us in sending Jesus into the world. What does Christmas time tell us? What does it teach us, amongst other things? It tells us that God is a God of love, and he loves you and me. And that's brilliant. And he loves all kinds of different people. This past week, a guy called Christopher Hitchens, you may have seen the news, has died. And he was very much a very well-known atheist and sort of writer. He wrote a book called God Is Not Great. And there's kind of, I think, a sudden sort of a maybe expectation amongst, in a sense, the atheist community that Christians would be kind of like, on hearing of this guy dying, would be kind of like, quite celebratory almost, really. It was kind of in the media and things. But actually, here's a guy, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, because of Christmas, God loved Christopher Hitchens. Whatever he said, whatever he believed, whatever he wrote about, God loved him. Because the Bible tells us that God loves the world and all the people in it. And Christopher Hitchens, he was an atheist, he's not anymore, but he was someone that God loved. Well, how do I know that? Because the Bible says God sent Jesus into the world for all kinds of different people. You ever wondered why it is that we have shepherds and wise men coming to the birth of Jesus, or to come to worship Jesus? Why is that? Well, you've got these two massive great ranges of people. You have the shepherds, who on one level are, you know, socially and in terms of the job they have, are kind of right down the bottom of the rung of the ladder. You know, they'd be out on the hillside, very sort of low-paying job, not the greatest job in the world, quite a dangerous job in those days. They had to look after the sheep, make sure bears didn't come and attack them and stuff like that. Then on the other hand, you've got these wise men who are obviously quite well off because they can afford to give gold away, you know, which not all people can do, and are wise, obviously, which is a good thing. And, you know, you've got these two comparisons. You've got the shepherds on one hand, the wise men on the other. And they both come and they are both present before Jesus. Why? Because from the lowliest shepherd to the wisest man and everyone in between, this gift is for them, is for you. Why? Because God loves us. And if you're here this morning and that's something that you kind of doubt in any way, shape or form, then just think about Christmas. Because Christmas and the cross tells us that God loves us so, so much. It's a gift given in love. But also, it's a gift that's all about our need. And we kind of said earlier, didn't we, that actually our best gifts, the gifts that we most enjoy, maybe aren't the things that we need. But actually, you know, we have a great need. We have a massive need that only one person can deal with. The need is this. So Paul says in Romans, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners. There's our need. Our need is that we need forgiveness. Why? Because we are all sinners. And Paul, who wrote those words, before he became a Christian, he was a very religious person. And he knew sort of huge amounts of the Old Testament. You could probably kind of say, give him a chapter and verse, and he could probably sort of just quote it off the top of his head. He was an incredibly religious person. And yet he's able to say in that book, not while you were still sinners, but while we were still sinners. He includes himself in it. Okay, that, you know, Christianity is not about a big kind of finger-jabbing thing, looking out to everybody and going, look at you, you're a sinner. It's saying we all are. We all are. The music group have played beautifully this morning. Thank you very much, music group. But can I just say that the music group are a bunch of sinners? I've wanted to say it for years. But they would agree. We can laugh about it, but they would absolutely agree. I'm a sinner. The wonderful children who came up the front, do you know what? Actually, they're sinners as well. And actually, those of you who are parents here and maybe, you know, had various experiences this morning before they came up, well, no, I know, I'm going to land in a minute. Luke, this morning, I terribly behaved before he came into church. It's dreadful. And then they look so innocent, don't they, at the front, their angel outfits and their shirts. Aren't they cute? Aren't they lovely? Yeah, you talk to the parents and say, how was it beforehand? How was it, you know, things. But we know, don't we? Actually, yeah, they're not perfect. None of us are. Why? Because we are sinners. We've rebelled against God. We've gone our own way. And our need, therefore, is to be forgiven. And it is a need that we all have. Every single person. I have it. Everyone in this room has it. Everyone in the world has it. And the reason why God's gift is so perfect is because it deals with the need that we have. The need for forgiveness. Why did God send Jesus? So that we could be forgiven. And that's where that shadow of the cross kind of came in. And it also leads us to think then about the cost. The cost, not in money terms, but what did it cost God to forgive us? God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so in many ways we cannot separate Christmas from Easter. Because in Christmas we see Christ coming into the world. But why did he come into the world? Why is it such an amazing thing for this baby to be born in a manger? So that he would grow up, he would live perfectly, obediently, and never do anything wrong, and that then he would die on a cross so that we could be forgiven. And our minds cannot measure what that costs God. So we thought about that £15 million watch, and we kind of thought, well, that has got to be the most expensive gift, you know, that anyone could possibly, you know, ever buy. There probably are things which are probably more expensive, but they, you know, it's beyond our idea of why you'd spend that amount of money. But here is a gift, said, not valuable in terms of money, but it is the precious blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross for us, so that we could receive the gift of forgiveness. And the brilliant thing about it is that it is a gift. It's not anything that we can earn or kind of, you know, sort of pay back God for. I'm kind of guessing that in most households, well, I hope kind of all households really, your Boxing Day tradition does not kind of go to everyone's sitting around, okay, what present did you get? Okay, well, great Auntie Mabel there. She's bought us a lovely fondue set. Wonderful. Okay, let's have a look at that. Okay, let's check online. How much did it cost? About £15. Okay, like, write Auntie Mabel a check, and we'll kind of send that off. And kind of go through all your presents, check online, work out the value, send a check to the person who gave you the gift. We don't do that. Of course we don't. What you might do, possibly, on Boxing Day is to go through all your presents, and hopefully you've noted who gave you what thing, and send a thank you letter or a card, or probably an email these days, isn't it? Thank you email, so much easier. Just do a group one, can't you? You fill in the gaps and things. But it's... that's what I'm doing. But what do? We say thank you, don't we? We respond to a gift, not by trying to pay for it, but in thankfulness. And that is what we should do with God's perfect gift of Jesus for us. We don't say to God, okay, God, that's brilliant, but hey, look, you know, I still want to try and be religious. I still want to try and sort of, you know, make up for the bad stuff that I've done. That's pointless. It's stupid. It is just like sending a check to someone because they've given you a present. Instead, our response should be, God, I'm so thankful for what you've done for me in sending Jesus. I want that forgiveness that you've offered. I need that forgiveness that you've offered. And thank you that I can have it in the person of Jesus. And what God says that we need to do is just to trust in him and in his Son, in what Jesus has done for us. To have faith that his death on the cross deals forever with the problem of our sin. All the things that we've done in our life that we regret and that we wish we could take back and wish we could do over again can be forgiven for us at the cross. And it is a gift. And it is offered to all people. And so if you're sat here this morning, that gift is for you. But you need to accept it. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus and say, yes, Jesus, I want that wonderful gift of forgiveness. No one else can give it to you. You can't get it anywhere else in the universe. Only through Jesus can we receive forgiveness. And so my challenge then to you this morning then is, you know, what is your response to that? And for many people here, you've received that gift and you've accepted that gift and you enjoy that gift every day, knowing forgiveness. Doesn't make life perfect. Doesn't mean to say we never ever do anything wrong ever again. Doesn't mean to say that we can just kind of like sit back and go, it doesn't really matter what I do, I can just live how I want. Doesn't mean that either. But it means that when we do fail, we know that we have a God who delights to forgive us and who will forgive us because of what Jesus has done for us. And this morning I'd just like you to think about that. If you're someone who's never kind of really thought about that before, have a think about who Jesus is. And what he's done. He is the perfect gift. He is the greatest gift that anyone could ever possibly receive. And he was given to us. Why? Because God loves us so much. He was given to us because we need him beyond anything else. But it cost God his only Son. It cost Jesus his life on the cross. But he was willing to do that for you and for me. And I believe there's only kind of really one response to that. And our final song this morning is Angels from the Realms of Glory. And there is the chorus for us. Come and worship. Come and worship. Jesus is no ordinary baby. He is the Son of God. And he deserves our worship and our praise. And this morning, maybe, you have this opportunity to really worship him for the first time. To really accept him for the first time. And if you do that, or if you want to talk any more about that, I'll be on the door afterwards, and there'll be people around as well as we have tea and coffee. But why not come this morning and acknowledge the fact that Jesus is the greatest gift, that you want that gift of forgiveness in your life, and then come and worship the God who loves you so much. So let's stand and sing our final song, Angels from the Realms of Glory.